What would you think would be Satan's most effective weapon to use against gospel preachers, elders, deacons, teachers, and all workers in the Lord's church? Well, this is what I would offer, and that would be discouragement. And if discouragement is not checked, then despair sets in. And if despair is not overcome, then ultimately departure. Yes, leaving the faith. So we need to prepare ourselves for this effective weapon that Satan is obviously utilizing. And now, this morning, we're going to look at how to offset that effective weapon of discouragement. And we're going to study about 3D religion. Yes, we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning. Yes, to Preparing for Eternity, or PFE is a good way to remember it. And we all need to be doing just that. Now, at this time, we want to utilize this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. We gather together in our Bible classes. We're studying, of course, God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship, yes, to worship God in spirit and in truth, we would appreciate you being here with us, and you would be most welcome. Now, something else we want to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. So if you're interested in setting up a convenient time for yourself, we'll be glad to set that up. And also, if you have questions, Bible questions, and always your comments are appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning, and that's concerning 3D religion in order to offset Satan's effective weapon of discouragement. Well, you probably, if you're not that old, you may not remember this, but those of us that go back a ways, we remember the old three-dimensional movies where you were supposed to be a part of the movie. Well, in that same regard, religion should affect us and be a part of us. Now, it's not a miraculous indwelling that's separate and apart from the Word of God, oh no. But we need to appreciate the power of God's Word working in our lives. And as we submit to God's will, yes, God is dwelling in us. But it's not apart from the Word of God. So we need to find in Jeremiah chapter 15, yes, we're going to go there, and notice verse 16. And we'll see three words that begin with the letter D. Let's notice now. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, what do we find in this verse? In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words, in other words, were found. So Jeremiah discovered the Word of God. Then he did what? He ate the words. I did eat them. So he digested them. And then you see, he had great joy and thus delight. So this is what we're emphasizing this morning in having 3D religion. Discover, digest, and delight. So let's go back to the first one. We need to discover the power of God's Word. Thy words were found. That's right. They were found by Jeremiah knowing God's will. In Jeremiah's day, the northern kingdom had been taken into Assyrian captivity. Yes, but Judah, the southern kingdom, had not learned a lesson from her older sister. Let's notice together now Jeremiah 3, 6 through 11. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. That is, idols built out of stones and stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. That's a stern rebuke from God, is it not? And so we need to understand what was the problem. Well, the people had, number one, a revolting and rebellious heart. Number two, instead of God's word, they loved to hear the lies of false prophets. And number three, the priests did the things by their means, not God's. Jeremiah 5, 29 through 31, chapter 7, verse 8, verses 23 and 24, verse 28, chapter 17, verse 5. You see, this is documented in the Word of God. So they needed to discover the power of God's Word as Jeremiah proclaimed. Jeremiah 23, verse 29, a verse we should be familiar with. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's the power of God's word. Jesus taught in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he was thrust out of town in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 37. You can see how Jesus read from, yes, Isaiah the prophet, and he was fulfilling that prophecy. And their reaction was not to praise him as the Messiah has now come among us. No, they ran Jesus out of town and would have thrown him over the headlong over the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went his way. Yes, they would have cast him unto the brow of the hill, verse 29. But look at Luke 4, verse 32, as Jesus went on to Capernaum, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now that should be our reaction. Being astonished and appreciating the power of the Word of God, you see two very different reactions to the powerful truth being spoken. But we know Paul, the apostle, out of due season, he discovered the power of God's Word and was not ashamed to preach and teach the truth. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, Romans 1:16 certainly reveals that Paul was not ashamed to preach and teach the truth, the gospel of Christ, and therein was the power of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we ask the question of ourselves, have we discovered the power of God's Word? How important is God's Word in our lives? Are we using the power of the Word? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5. Now we need to understand this. Truth is not going to be found anywhere else. Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's right. It can make us free from our sins as we obey the gospel and free us from all the ungodly philosophies of man and superstitions and all those things. Notice Ephesians 4:21. Yes, the truth is in Jesus. The all-sufficiency of the Scriptures is revealed in such passages as 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Nothing is lacking. 2 Peter 1:3, it contains all things unto life and godliness. Nothing is left out. Now we need to go on and notice that Jeremiah did eat them. So we need to digest God's Word after discovering the power of God's Word. Yes, now we need to digest God's Word. So Jeremiah, despite being discouraged, and he was on occasions very discouraged from the people's reaction to God's Word, but he was able to remain faithful after returning to God because he kept God's word in his heart and soul. In verses 15 of Jeremiah, well, Jeremiah 15, beginning in verse 17, notice, and I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. That's awful, Jeremiah, to say that before God. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as waters that fail? Jeremiah, you're out of line speaking this to God. And notice God's statement to Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto these people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee, to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. There it is. separate the precious from the vile. You spoke vile words, Jeremiah, and you better do what God said. Now, notice the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat thou that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. In other words, eat the word and then go preach it. To digest the word of God, we must what? Meditate upon it. Study. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to all men that asketh of the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 2:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. Yes, let's meditate on the word of God. Now, here's an illustration that'll help us. What happens when we do not chew our food well? Upset stomach. We could even get choked. The same can happen when we do not study and come to a proper understanding of God's word. In Matthew 13:22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfaithful. That's right. It can happen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Yes, notice these verses in John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, we're not become cannibals, but this means to eat the doctrine, the teachings of Christ, and then we'll have life in us. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We must feed on the teachings of Christ, or we're going to starve to death spiritually. So let us be digesting God's word. And now the final D, as we've looked at discover God's word, which is powerful, and then digest God's word. And then finally, we need to delight in God's word. As Jeremiah said, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah believed the promises of God. He certainly did. If you go to Jeremiah 33:7-8, I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. There was a remnant that returned. And so Jeremiah believed God's promises. And he prophesied in Jeremiah 23 concerning the coming Messiah, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. All capital letters. Yes, Jeremiah prophesied concerning the coming Messiah. And also in chapter 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Now, we need to ask ourselves this very important question. Do we remember how we felt when we realized, yes, we found the truth. We have found the Word of God, the truth, and now we need to respond to it. Do we remember that? Well, I certainly do. And this was the time when I felt like, there it is. The light has come on. I can see this is the truth. I have seen it from my own eyes in the Word of God. I was misled. I had misunderstandings, but now I can understand the truth. We need to have the attitude of the psalmist. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oh, how love I thy law. It is the meditation all the day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verses 16, 97, and 105. Yes, we need to love the law of God and meditate upon it, not forget it, and let it guide us in this life. And notice the last statement of the verse in Jeremiah 15, 16. For I am called by thy name, O God, O Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah was called by the authority of the Almighty Jehovah God. We are called by the gospel of Christ, are we not? We certainly are. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we have obeyed the gospel of Christ, then we are called the divine name Christians. Acts 11:26, they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's a divine name, because it's stating that this person is a follower of Christ, a true follower, because he or she has obeyed the precious gospel of Christ, have put on Christ, have been added by the Lord himself to his body, the true church. And of course, as Christians, we are the children of God. So we need to act accordingly, as Jesus set the example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. So as we've studied this morning, yes, even Jeremiah, the inspired spokesman of God, became discouraged. But he did not go into despair. He did not depart from serving the Almighty Creator, did he? No, he had 3D religion. Jeremiah discovered the power of God's Word. And he digested God's Word. And he delighted in God's Word, did he not? We saw this as we studied from the book of Jeremiah. So now we need to ask ourselves, what kind of religion do we have? You see, it depends on what we have responded to. Have we responded to what someone has told us is from God? Or have we discovered for ourselves from the Word of God the truth? And we can be assured, because the evidence is insurmountable. We're staying with the pattern that God has given. If we're going to be pleasing to God, we must understand that this is the revealed way we're to live as Christians. But first of all, we've got to understand what to do in order to be saved, because there's a lot of false teaching concerning salvation. How often do you hear the terms faith only, grace only? Do you find that in the Scriptures? Let's all ask ourselves that question. Is that what we're seeing in the Scriptures? It's not there. Oh no. Faith only is not there In fact, study James 2:24, and not faith only, but with works of righteousness. You see, that's refuted in God's word. And grace only, yes, God's grace enables us to be saved, but we have to do something in order to receive the grace of God. That is, respond to the gospel of Christ in obedience to His word. The power of God's word conforms our lives, molds us into that which is acceptable in God's sight. If we're not humbling ourselves and receiving the truth, we're just fooling ourselves. So what kind of religion do we have? Is it the true religion from God's word? There's a lot of false religion, without question. So now let's discuss together. What must I do to be saved? Well, the first thing is to hear the truth. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now I must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except that ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If one doesn't believe, it's certainly not going to do any good to be baptized. So we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins. And the evidence, again, is insurmountable. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated. We're ready to repent. We're going to make a change of wills and do the will of God. We're going to submit to the doctrine of Christ. And so we turn from that life of sin. Acts 17:30. We must repent of our sins, else we'll perish. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8. See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, what hindered him? He needed to make the good confession, which he did. And then he and Philip both went down into the water. And here's the step that puts us into Christ. The eunuch was baptized. He was immersed, buried under the water. He came up out of the water. Then he went on his way rejoicing. Baptism is for what purpose? For the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. That is forgiveness. We're contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Paul, why tarest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. There in Acts 22:16. Now, the final step is to live faithfully, even unto death. Revelation 2:10. We'll receive the crown of life. And so we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. And we thank you so much for listening today.